Welcome back to Boys and Bolos TV. We're down here in the barbershop studio. Jarrett, thanks for joining me. We're brighter than usual. We're livelier than usual. You've got a new jersey on.
If you can see from home, it's still here, which I still got the tags.
Yep.
So litty. Over my fleece because it's kind of cold.
I wore a championship team jersey, Middlesbrough, because in honor of this great league that Sheffield United is in that beat Spurs today.
I thought I should
honor them a little bit. It's the only championship jersey that I own. I think Middlesbrough are a decent team. I don't particularly know, but here I am.
I think it's great that you are honoring the championship because Sheffield beat Spurs in the FA Cup.
Yep.
Which leads to Spurs' continued trophy drought, unless I guess they win the Champions League or the league. And
yeah, I mean, it's sad, but
it's kind of like Mortal Kombat, though, you know, where like when you lose, you have to give up your soul. So you've given your soul up. Like, you lost the championship. Now you have to give your soul up.
If you look at the lineup, though, some games, you know, that the team really wasn't putting their best foot forward on this one. When you make 8 changes from the weekend, you're not putting your best lineup out. You're putting out your B team.
I mean,
these are guys who literally never play together.
I mean, I don't think Conte, like, he's not excited about the FA Cup.
Nobody's excited. The FA Cup has been now downgraded to Carabao Cup level status. It really has. I mean, the only thing it gets you is a Europa League spot. That's it.
So it's a little bit better than Carabao then.
A little bit better, yeah.
But not by much.
Yeah, but it's almost better to, I mean, just look at the lineups that teams, the Premier League teams, put out for FA Cup games. It's not like it means much more to win Premier League games than FA Cup games in the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things, until you actually win the FA Cup. Because if you win the FA Cup, for some teams, it is a big deal.
But even if Spurs, let's put it this way, this would have been a good year for, I mean, there weren't a lot of Premier League teams left in the FA Cup, but Spurs would have had to go through City and United to get, you know, to win the league, and to win this thing. And they weren't going to do it. Let's just be real. United and City on another level than Spurs, and that's fine. That's fine. Look, that's fine. United won the Carabao Cup this past weekend. Congratulations to them. Walt Weghorst won his first trophy.
He did.
That was a thing. They celebrated quite a lot for winning a trophy that nobody really cares about. But that's fine. That's fine. They deserve it.
I think it was a big deal for them, though. I mean, like, okay.
It's a monkey off of the back type of thing, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Eth got his, I'm going to refer to him now as Eth. Eth got his trophy. And, like, honestly, in August and September, we were wondering if he was going to get fired.
Sure.
So he pulled his team together enough to win a trophy. Now, here's a fun fact and a stat. When was the last time United won a trophy? In what year?
2016 or 2017?
Bingo. I believe it's 2017, and it was the Europa League with Jose.
Yeah, it was 2017.
Honestly, it's been a long time when you think about that. Like, that was back when Jose was in good graces, and, like, Paul Pogba was balling. So it has been a significant amount of time since they... I mean, that was 2 World Cups ago. Like,
sure.
A lot has happened. So I think it's a big deal for United's progress, and I think it also, like, raises the question, and... why don't we just jump right into it? I mean, the week we just had was week 25, match day 25, and there was actually games today which were made up from match day 7, which I believe was the Queen stuff or COVID. I'm not actually sure. I
think Queen.
It was,
Queen.
It was Queen. Thank Queen. You. And
rest in peace.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
God save the King.
God save the King now.
Yeah, okay. So do you want to look at week 25?
Do I want to look at it? As a whole or as individual games?
As a whole.
As a whole. I feel like...
what's the vibe that it gave
The
you?
Vibe that I got out of the week was not a lot changed. Not a lot in terms of where teams were and what teams achieved. There wasn't a lot of movement in the table except for maybe Leeds got out of relegation. I think that's really it. Spurs beat Chelsea. I mean, you know, I didn't queue up the Chelsea get battered wherever they go clip. That would have been more fitting for any versus anything else because they have not been good. But even if Chelsea had won that game,
we stay in the exact same position.
Even if Spurs lost, same fourth. Spurs won, still in fourth. I mean, there nothing really changed. City won. They beat Bournemouth. They smashed Bournemouth. Arsenal won. You know, everything kind of stayed the same. Liverpool tied, I think, drew. It was a lot of the only movement happened really at the bottom of the table.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of it happened at the bottom. Like, West Ham winning 4-0 was something I think David Moyes needed for his own job security, and I think the club needed to kind of, like, you know, move forward. Sunday, there were only two games. So you had the Chelsea-Tottenham game, which you've already touched upon, and then you have the United-Newcastle game in the Carabao Cup final. So it was kind of like a meh week in that sense, and I agree with you. There wasn't really a lot of movement, and even if Chelsea wins that game, they stay in the same position. And even if Spurs lose that game, I think they stay in the same position. So there wasn't like a lot of...
There wasn't a lot. Like, so they made this Chelsea and Spurs game. I was saying this to you earlier in the week. Is like they made it out to be this like game of the season, make or break. Well, not really. I mean, for maybe Chelsea's pride, it was make or break.
Yeah.
We thought perhaps for Potter's job security, right?
Well...
But no, because he's still there. Right?
Like, does he have sex tapes of Todd Bowley?
I don't know what it is.
Like, seriously, does he have sex tapes?
I think I
don't understand at this point.
So they got rid of Tuchel because I don't think Bowley liked Tuchel. That's the only reason that I can think of right now is he just wanted to start with a clean slate when he came in, right? Because that was pretty quick. Like, they lost the Champions League game against Zagreb and then, like, one other game in the league, and then he was gone, right? But that was right when Bowley took over, right when Abramovich was done. I think it was just like, let's start new, right? And now maybe Bowley like isn't a guy who wants to get rid of managers quick, right? Maybe that's just not in his nature. Now, there has been more news this week that they've been looking for a replacement, maybe Pochettino, maybe, who is it, Luis Enrique, maybe, maybe Zidane. Like, so there's been names floating around, but there's also been reports that that Potter has the board's backing and has the owner's backing.
That's what I was going to say, yeah, because I've read things that Tuchel apparently just didn't agree with the board on everything that they maybe wanted to do, and I think a lot of it probably had to do with buys this past summer, and that really led us to basically not have a lot of buys going into this season. Like, we didn't really shake things up. Like, getting Cucurella wasn't like, you know, 4D chess. Koulibaly was something that was really, really nice, and I'm glad that we finally locked that down because it's been years in the making. He's been rumored to come to England for years. But I think Todd Bowley, exactly what you said, comes in and he does away with Tuchel. So he kind of puts his stamp on it, right? He's like a dog. He's peeing. He's marking his territory. And then he brings in Potter, brings him over from Brighton. And now I think he doesn't want to admit mistake. And by firing Potter, it would be his first mistake. That's kind of where I am. And I think... Well, actually, I read this today, and I wanted to share this with you. The current Brighton coach, they're looking at him as a replacement for Potter. So then I'm like, does Potter just go back to Brighton?
Right.
Like, it's just this horrible game of musical chairs.
Also, like, Potter's record at this point in the season with Chelsea is almost exactly the same in terms of points and wins as where he was with Brighton last season. So what is he actually, like, what has he actually achieved? And what can he do as a manager? Nobody, the confidence is dwindling, right? And what he can do with a team. Does he make the right tactical subs? Is he putting the right team on the field every week in, week out? And I would say, and I think every Chelsea fan would say, no, obviously not, because they're not scoring goals and not winning games. And he's made a ridiculous amount of changes. The number of changes he has made to the starting 11 is unreal. It is... He's trying to like rejigger the team every single week, and it doesn't work. There's no consistency. No players know if they're going to play or not going to play. No player. There's no confidence going into that team. There's nobody knows how to play with one another. There's no chemistry. There's nothing. There's no ideas. It's brutal. It's brutal to see that lineup. To say this is what Graham Potter. This is the lineup. Why he put out the team he put out against Tottenham is because he looked up the individual matchups and what happened when Spurs came to Stamford Bridge and said, well, this worked at back, you know, 4 months ago, 3 months ago. So let's put out Ziyech. Let's put out Havertz. Let's put out Koulibaly instead of Badiashile. Let's, you know what I mean? He basically just was like, let's put out the old guys because the old guys got it done last time. And we're not going to put in any of the new signings and we're not going to rotate any of the guys who have been dog shit. We're going to put in... And then he doesn't make a sub until like the 80th minute when you're already down 1-0. And then he makes the sub right after Spurs go up 2-0. That's, and he puts in Aubameyang, Mason Mount, and Mudryk. Like, Mount has not been good. I like Mason Mount. Appreciate him as an English player, whatever. No, has not been good. He's been really bad. Mudryk hasn't done a lot. He's really, you overpaid for him. And Aubameyang needs to go back to wherever he fucking came from because he's not a good striker.
Aubameyang has not been a top footballer for 3 or 4 seasons. Chelsea picking him up was a weird vibe. I guess they were just trying to sell jerseys. I don't even know what their marketing tactic was there.
They took off Sterling, who was your only good attacking player.
Mudryk has looked good in practice, according to the Chelsea Instagram. And Mason Mount, since winning the Champions League and then playing in that Euro this summer 2021, because even though it's supposed to be summer 2020 because of the pandemic, summer 2020, since then, he is... Last season, he played okay, to be fair. But since basically August, this entire season, through the World Cup, he hasn't. I mean, he should have started on that England team, but he couldn't get run because he just wasn't in form. So I couldn't agree with you more. I still don't understand why Potter's there, but I also don't know if firing Potter and, like, bringing Luis Enrique, if that's actually going to change anything. Like, I actually don't know. Like, the pieces are there, and you look at that lineup, and you're like, oh, man, they should do something. And I watched the Spurs and Chelsea game. I'm not sure what channel you watched it on, but I wasn't watching it on my phone. I was watching it on, I think, TUDNA. And the Spanish commentators kept saying a couple things. They kept saying, one, they don't even think firing Potter is the problem because you have an island of misfit toys that have never really even played together. And some of them are just on, like, loans. Like, for example, João Félix is a central part. He's getting a lot of PT, and the dude's on a loan. He knows he's going. He knows he's not staying. He sees the writing on the wall. There's all these other younger and better players. And then the other thing they were saying is that because Chelsea's not going to make the Champions League, and it's time that Chelsea fans just totally admit that, and I totally admit we're not going to make the Champions League. That's fine. It's just not. Unless we literally win, we have about 14 matches left. Unless we literally win about 11 of those, and we need a lot of teams to start dropping points, like Spurs and like United, which is not going to happen, we're not going to be in the Champions League. So now you're going to have a coach potentially going in who's not a top-tier coach because Graham Potter isn't. He was always like a B-plus coach, and he did well at Brighton, and they wanted to like give him his shot. And you're not going to be in the Champions League. How are you going to attract players this summer? The answer is you're probably not going to. So you're going to be stuck with this group of players. So the only thing I think Chelsea's going to eventually have to do in the next 12 months is dip back into their academy. They need to start dipping back in. That's what Frank had to do when he had those transfer brands. He had to dip in. And who did he get out? Mason Mount. Who did he get out? Tammy Abraham, who's still playing super well over at Roma, scoring goals. You know, he gave those guys the chance. Reece James. He gave those guys the chance. So I do think Chelsea is going to have to revert back, and then they're going to have to get a top-tier coach. And next year, in the summer of 2024, hopefully we're back in the Champions League. Then we're going to be back on. But it's going to take a long time for Chelsea. Not a long time. I mean, this time's going to fly. But Chelsea's in a moment of rebuilding. And the reality of it is, when we won the Champions League, we weren't the best team in Europe, but we won that tournament. And it's the second time we won the Champions League, and we weren't the best team, but we figured out how to win the tournament. And I think Chelsea was, like, the hubris was super high after we won the Champions League. And it was like, oh, we're going to go for the league next year. And I think you picked Chelsea to win the league next year. And then it just didn't pan out. You know, we finished top four. We were competitive. We took points off everyone. It's great. But I think winning the Champions League messed Chelsea up. And you can make that same argument in 2012 when they won.
Yeah.
Because by 2013, and by 2017, they were in 10th place again.
I would also argue that you had the same problem last year. The problem is scoring goals. It's not defense.
Yeah.
You guys only have, your goal differential is only -2. It was 0 before the Spurs game. You only have given up 25 goals this whole season. You just cannot score. Look at the goal differential in all the other teams. Like they're scoring like 50, they've scored like 50 goals, like twice as many goals as Chelsea. And if you go look at how many goals you scored last season, it was lower comparatively to a lot of the other top four teams, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
it's scoring goals. It's not giving up goals. You guys are solid defensively, like actually very solid. And whether you put in Bashiel, or whether you put in Silva, whether you put in Koulibaly and Reece James and Chilwell, even Cucurella didn't give up. Like, he's not good, but he's not giving up. He's not costing goals.
Sure.
It's just he's... You need to create, like, there's no creativity. There's no central striker. There's no number 10, really, right?
Since we lost Eden Hazard in 2019 and he took his chubby little butt to Madrid, we have not fulfilled the role. We don't have that game changer. Chelsea before them, for the last two decades, has had somebody who's a freaking game changer.
Yep.
You have Hazard. Then you had Drogba. You even had, you know, Torres never really figured it out. But you always had a top guy who was class and you could figure it out. Since then, we have had Alvaro Morata. He didn't figure it out. We had Higuain. He didn't figure it out. We've had Romelu Lukaku, which was the worst buy in Chelsea history, and maybe, honestly, in English Premier League history.
Absolute lug.
Hashtag lug. Those three guys, who then go to other teams and they're, you know, whatever, winning tournaments and stuff and scoring goals. So
you had Timo Werner, who...
We brought over Werner from Leipzig. We've just had players who we've brought in to try to solve this problem, and we haven't. And I don't think Mudryk's the guy, straight up. I just don't. I think we need to reevaluate what we're doing. I think we probably need to change our formation. And if Potter stays or if he doesn't stay, I think that there are other things that are problematic at the club. Like, if you have a leader that doesn't want to fire a coach because he doesn't want to basically look like he messed up early on the job, that's a bigger issue. That's his ego getting in the way of a sport he literally doesn't understand.
Right.
3 years ago, if I met Todd Boehly in the street and I was like, oh, nice Dodgers game, cool, whatever, man, talk to me about soccer. He would know nothing. Talk to me about football. Talk to me about the world's beautiful game. He knows nothing. Right. This is an investment for him and a little play toy. That's the way I see it, and that's the way most fans see it. Like,
Did you see him at the game? He was like, it looked like he had just hit up the pro shop, the Chelsea pro shop.
He probably goes to the pro shop all the time, just hangs out.
He was wearing a Chelsea scarf, a Chelsea jacket.
Yeah, he probably had a jersey on with the tag on.
Yeah, a Chelsea hat, a Chelsea beanie, Chelsea gloves. The guy was fully
We should probably do an entire episode, right? But like right now it's not going well for gringos in Europe. I'm sorry, gringos in England. Gringos, right? Jesse England. Marsh is on LinkedIn Premium trying to get a job. Todd Boehly is a tourist. He's at Borussia Dortmund with his phone out like, oh, look at that, honey. Yeah, look at that wall of yellow people. Yeah, they're going to fucking kill us. Awesome, bro.
The seeds.
Yeah, look at the seeds. Oh, the sun. Seeds. Sun, these are vibes.
These are...
I'm fucking dead, dude. He's a bum. So anyways, Chelsea has bigger issues than actually the players in the field, is my opinion. If the board are saying that they're going to like back Graham Potter, and Graham Potter literally right now is... other than like relegation teams, probably on the worst run of form. And I don't have the stats
I've
back that
never
up, but
he's team
brutal.
Score less goals. Like, just not be able to score. And we're not talking about a team that like gives up a lot of goals, like a Leeds or like a Bournemouth.
No, you said it. And I looked it up and you're spot on. They've let in 25 goals.
It's crazy.
And they've scored 23 goals. They are bang average. And you know they're bang average because they're sitting on 10th. And nothing can remove them from 10th because the sludge under them doesn't move. Chelsea have won, we've won 2 out of 16 games or some shit?
Yeah.
And the teams below us are worse?
They're worse.
We are literally the last thing. Chelsea's purgatory.
Chelsea's
above
purgatory.
It is heaven, and below it is just the inferno, dude.
But I think what'll end up happening is you guys will just keep drawing games 1-1 or 2 or 0-0 until the end of the season. Or you'll just stay in 10th, maybe 9th.
So Chelsea finished in 2016, 10th. Yeah. And then the next season in 2017, with Conte, we won the league. So, like, we've been there before. And if you guys think, here's the crazy thing. We've had conversations about this. You guys were like, oh, whoever's going to replace Chelsea isn't going to spend as much as Abramovich. That's incredible. And I always said, no, there's three options. They'll spend the same amount.
Yep.
They'll spend less or they'll spend more. Now, I thought it was a 1% chance they'd spend more. Todd Boehly, the dude must like have Bitcoin miners because the dude doesn't care about money.
He doesn't care about money.
He doesn't care about financial fair play.
It's a flex, dude. I was about to say, he got, not only does he not want to be wrong, he wanted to come in and make a point by spending the money and getting the players to come to Chelsea and be like, oh, look at me. I'm a master negotiator. I can get Mudryk. I can get Badiashile. I can get Fofana. I can get whatever, Madueke or whoever the hell it is, you're going to get Ndunku next year, right?
Yeah, we already signed him.
I got signed Ndunku. So, like, the guy just wants to spend the money. He just wants to do it for bragging rights, it seems like.
I feel like he comes in and he's thinking about the other owners of the other teams or the groups that own the teams, right? And for him, it's like he wants to, like, he's, you know how they say, like, if you get thrown in prison, you got to punch out somebody in the first minute so you don't get rocked by the boys in the barrio or whatever. I feel like he showed up and he's like, looked around. He's like, too cool. Bye.
Yeah.
And then he just started buying. Yeah, it's total flex. It's just a weird thing. Like,
but also, like, nobody taught, like, so they, so the big conversation with Sky Sports, with NBC Sports and all the pundits, they're saying, well, Chelsea spent £600 million and they can't score a goal. Well, let's really break that down. They overpaid about 300 of that 600 million.
Yep.
Let's be completely honest. They basically bought these players and bought out. They spent the transfer, the buyout clauses to the max on all the players, like Enzo Fernandez, like Modric, because the teams basically out negotiated Chelsea. They said, okay, well, this is the price of the player, and Boehly had no idea what he was doing, and he was like, okay, that's cool. I got that much money. So I'll spend £120 million on Enzo when he's a £50 million player.
60. We agreed 60.
Okay, so 60. Half. All right, so say Modric 60, say Badiashile 25, like 30, right? But they paid 60. Like all the, so take everything by half, and really what they spent is 300. And that's still a lot of, it's still a lot of money. It still should make a difference. But let's not exaggerate the value of Chelsea, right? Because that's not actually the value of the players.
I agree.
What they paid for the players. Exactly. It's not the value.
This gets into a different thing between cost, price, and value.
Right.
What you pay isn't reflective of the value.
No.
So I completely agree. And I look at Chelsea's lineup, and the fact that Thiago Silva is out for 6 weeks, you might as well, like, Chelsea shouldn't even play. We should say we'll finish in 15th and everyone take the week off. Like, when I say the week, I mean the semester. Just take the semester off, boys. Right? Focus on Champions League. See if we can beat Borussia Dortmund. You know, I'm really excited to see the Borussia Dortmund this next week. I'm excited to see the Borussia Dortmund owner come to Stamford Bridge and take pictures of Stamford Bridge because he's so blown away. I look at Chelsea's lineup, and you're looking and you're like, okay, let's look at our offense. This is why we can't score goals. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, a.k.a. Road Cone. Joao Felix. He is, like, the most, if you're into D2 and Disney movies, he's, like, honestly Luis Mendoza. He has so much, like, skill, and then he also missing, like, a major part of his game, which, dude, is that he's not dangerous at all. No one's, there's like, a, he gets near the really box, funny, and they just, like, let him shoot.
There's a really funny clip reel of all his highlights from the Spurs game where he just, like, either, like, passed sideways, lost the ball, or, like, shot it, like, no, the it's, stands.
Okay, so Pierre and Joao. Oh, amazing. Raheem Sterling peaked 3 or 4 years ago, and he's still serviceable, but, like, you know, he's...
No, he was your best offensive player. Yeah. He did things, but the problem is that he does best when there's guys around him that can actually score.
Yeah, and he obviously is, I think...
Shouldn't have left City.
I think... Yeah, oh, Jesus. Armando Broja, I think he's hurt. I think he's been out for a while.
He's hurt, yep.
And then we have Fofana up top. Never seen him play.
We don't know.
And...
No idea. Yeah, I guess he's good.
Yeah, and then Noni Maduke...
I don't know, maybe.
Okay, like, who is that guy? Whose mans are you, dude? Like,
whose mans are you?
So I look at this team, and I'm like, how do we go from Didier Gadba to
fucking... Well, you need, like, a player like Osimhen, or, like, a guy, like the guy on or any of the players in Napoli who have been, like, balling out. That guy with a really long last name who's from, like, Ukraine or something. Mitrishkala or something. He's good. That guy.
We just need something, like anybody, dude.
Like, any, go to any other league and find the top scorer from that league and get him to come over your team. That's it. I swear, it's better than anything you got now.
Well, I think Mudryk may
pan out.
May pan out. My thing is that...
He's young, though. He's really young.
Here's my thing as a Yank. Zero respect to Christian Pulisic.
Zero respect.
Zero respect to Christian Pulisic.
Well, he's hurt 90% of the time.
He's hurt 89% of the time. But when he is serviceable, he should be playing. He should be starting.
I think Potter would play him. I don't think there's, like, a problem there. I think he's just always hurt. Like, that's the real problem. That's the real underlying issue. I also saw a thing on Twitter that when Modric was in Shakhtar, and fans would just get tired of him. Because besides the last season or this past season when he scored a bunch of goals, he would just kind of do things like he would like burn a bunch of people on and then do nothing with the ball. Like, he was just all flash. He was no end product. And I think he was a running joke from Shakhtar fans. And that's what I heard. And I think he had a good stretch of form where he scored a bunch of goals. And, you know, obviously they liked that, and it drove his value up. But, maybe we're just seeing the real Mudryk.
We may be seeing the rule that proves the exception.
True.
Okay, we've roasted Chelsea enough. Lord knows, like I said, if Chelsea could just finish in 15th and call it for the season, I think they should. We'll save on injuries. We'll save on drama. Potter will save his job. Maybe he can come up with something better in the preseason.
Maybe we'll get some nice, we'll see some nice academy kids come up and play.
Yeah, honestly, Lewis Hall is one of my like favorite players to watch on Chelsea, and the kid's, what, 17, 18, 19, a little baller. What do you want to move on? Let's look at week 26 is coming up, and let's just go through those games super quick and then get over to fantasy. Okay, so March 4th, Saturday. Ooh, I think we have all, no, March 4th, the 5th, and the 6th, and we're going to have games. So Manchester City, Newcastle, it's going to be a good game. Newcastle is not easy to score on, and this game is going to be at the empty hat.
I saw a fun stat.
Is it about this game? Or are you changing the subject?
A fun stat about Nick Pope, because he's Newcastle goalkeeper, much lauded, English international. He is the biggest shithouser in the Premier League, I think.
You realize Diego Costa is back in the Premier
League. No, I know, but people don't really realize until you watch Nick Pope play how much time that man wastes while playing in a game.
Is that shithousery or dark arts?
Dark arts, shithousery, whatever. Okay, whatever, dark arts. Okay, you want to say dark arts? I want to say whatever. The guy wastes so much time.
Is he using all your anytime minutes?
He literally holds the ball until the ref says, come on. You know how the ref does that?
Yeah, come on.
Sure. I guess like there was a stat where there was a game, Newcastle game, where of the 90 minutes, the ball was only in play for 47 minutes of the time, because most of the time, Nick Pope was holding on to it. Now, this actually leads me to believe.
Most of the time.
This leads me to believe why this is the core reason why Newcastle have tied so many games. The record in number of games a team has tied in the Premier League, I think, is 13 or 14. They're on 11. They're gonna break the record for the most amount of draws.
Oh, they're gonna break the record.
And
sure,
they're not good enough to score goal. They don't have a goal scorer in that team besides maybe Almiron, but even him, he's a winger. They don't have a pure number nine.
Callum Wilson. Baby.
He's not a real number. He had a couple good games. He made the English national team.
Come on, what's he?
I'm not showing any respect to him. He hasn't done shit this whole season.
Is he an 8.5?
I'm gonna cast so much fucking shade in Newcastle. They are a joke. They're not that good. I am saying it here on the pod. They're not that good of a team.
They're not going to be in Champions League.
They're not going to be in Champions League. They're maybe going to finish sixth. Maybe.
Really?
I think that Liverpool will jump them, and I think Spurs will stay ahead of them. Yes. They're not good enough. They're going to tie too many games, and they're not going to score. They're going to drop points every week.
Maybe Chelsea should get Nick Pope, because we need ways to get points.
Yeah, Nick Pope is a shithouser. I think they will win a few games because they got Bruno Guimarães back, but they are going to have trouble scoring goals.
Okay, refocusing on the topic at hand.
Bullshit,
before
dude.
Before you went off on your Nick
Newcastle.
Pope fucking
look
TEDx.
Look at the game against United. Look at the game against United. I know Loris Karius was playing in goal, not Pope, and not...
Dude, that dude has a hex on him.
I know.
That man has a hex on him.
But they did not play well. They did not create really any chances, goal-scoring chances. So...
Okay, back to the topic at hand. City, at the empty hot, are they going to beat Newcastle?
Yes, 100%. Okay. City have been playing better. They won today, FA Cup game. They smashed. Yesterday. And then they won over the weekend. So, no, they're back. They're fine. City are fine.
Arsenal at the Emirates against Bournemouth. I don't see a way they drop any points here.
I don't see. Bournemouth are objectively the worst team in the Premier League. I actually think they're worse than Southampton, and I know the record doesn't show that.
I agree with
you.
They're
very bad.
Because Southampton just beat Chelsea.
And Southampton, well, no, they lost to Grimsby Town in the FA Cup. That was a bad look.
Yeesh.
But, and Southampton are bad. I think they'll get relegated, but I think Bournemouth will get relegated as well. I think the Bournemouth, Southampton, and Everton are the three teams. But that's another.
I like how you whispered Everton.
I feel bad.
Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, Brighton, West Ham.
Nobody likes playing Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace tied Liverpool last weekend.
I know. I think Crystal Palace.
If you say Crystal Palace enough times, your team loses. I think that's like.
It's like a Beetlejuice situation.
It's a Beetlejuice situation.
Okay, so Brighton, West Ham at Amex. Where is Brighton right now?
Where are they? They're in England. Where are they? Is that like a metaphorical or is that like
I want to know, like, spiritually, are they in the fourth realm? Like, are they hanging out with Dr. Strange?
Well, I'm not sure where all of them are, but some of them are probably
smoking a bleezy with Snoop. No, where are they in the table, my G?
Oh, they're like seventh.
They're eighth. I'm looking at the table.
All right, well, they've dropped a couple, right?
All right, well, do you think that
lost to Fulham.
Do you think West Ham can beat them now that West Ham is beating teams 4-0?
I think that West Ham can beat them. I think that West Ham, they lost today to United. Yeah.
You hate West Ham.
I hate West Ham, but I think they can do it. I don't doubt their ability. I just don't like them.
They're like Tiny Tim. Oh, he can do it. Si se puede. Jesus Christ.
Si se puede. Si se puede.
Si se pudo. Okay.
What's the game? West Ham, Brighton.
Yeah.
I only think that Brighton can win if Matoma has a game of his life.
I'm noticing a trend here where you judge an entire game off whether one player does
something.
He's
the only player that can score on that team.
You literally, what was the call you had? Well,
This guy named Ferguson on Brighton. His name is Mon Ferguson. I think Ferguson scored in their FA Cup game. No, Matoma's good. He's been playing well.
He's good. But, super underrated.
West Ham, I think they're gaining some confidence, but they lost today, so maybe that knocked him down a peg. I don't know. Fuck. I don't like David Moyes.
I think they're going to tie. I think Brighton and West Ham are going to tie.
That's a good call.
Now, the next game is Chelsea-Leeds. Leeds beat us the first time this season with Brendan Aaronson just running around Edouard Mendy and kicking the ball in the goal. Still hurt.
That was a goalkeeper error, though.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Mendy hasn't
literally... That was a lot of hustle, though. It's very nice
Mendy
hustle.
Mendy hasn't played even in training since. So, the...
What are your odds? What do you think is going to go on here?
Let me see where it's being played.
I think if there's any team that Chelsea could score against, it'd be Leeds. Because they are a dumpster fire.
I think Chelsea will score three goals this game.
Three goals.
But we're going to tie 3-3.
Actually, yeah.
I mean, Chelsea's...
I don't know who's going to score from Leeds. Because, like, Chelsea's decent defensively. I mean, you're good defensively, right?
Bamford, Aaronson.
Bamford sucks.
Tyler Adams Aaronson, with a banger.
Aaronson, nah. Adams, nah.
Okay, then you know what? No, screw that. Chelsea's going to win
2-0.
Chelsea's going to win 2-0.
All right. I like
Wolves, Tottenham.
Tottenham. Is that the Hotspur Stadium?
Yeah, you guys
or
probably.
Or is that the Molyneux?
It's at the Molyneux. Ooh.
Damn it. I don't know. It's probably going to be a draw. I don't know. Today's
going to go Spurs 1-0, but just Spursy.
Just real Spursy.
Yeah, like a VAR, you know.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to score on Wolves. Like, I don't know what they're doing offensively anymore. They got, like, a guy or two. I don't know.
Southampton, Leicester, I don't want to talk about. I just don't want to talk about Leicester for a while until they kind of get their shit back together.
They got beat in the FA Cup yesterday, and I don't think it was a good scene.
Geesh. Nottingham Forest, Everton. Let's actually talk about this because now we're at the other end. We're in the wooden spoon here.
Are we, though? Because, like, Nottingham Forest is actually better than...
Nottingham Forest is
like 13th. Decent.
They've climbed decent. Out of the basement.
Yeah, they've scored a lot of points since the break.
Well, they're only 4 points ahead of Everton.
Oh, really? Okay, I guess it's pretty low. I mean, like 16th through 20th is... I mean, 15th through 20th is dark place to be in the table.
Do you think Everton's relegated?
Everton's relegated. They're done.
I feel like they've been trending there for three seasons, and I feel like this is the season.
This is it. This is the one.
This is it, Michael.
This is the big one. This is the big one.
This is the...
Today was really rough. The game,
I gotta
4-0.
Be honest, I don't want to see them go down, though.
No, nobody wants to see them go down, but sometimes these things are necessary.
Like Darwinism.
It's just it needs to happen.
Okay.
I think financial fair play really hurt them. They had to, like, balance the books and all that stuff. And they couldn't, like, bring in players and couldn't invest. And I don't know if building a stadium while this is all happening was such a good move, but it's happening.
It's happening. Okay. The premier game this week is Liverpool United. And it is at Anfield. Now, Anfield is no longer a fortress. It's more like the Globe where Shakespeare did his thing. It's just jokes and vibes now. I think United win.
Oh, yes.
I think Rashford's going to continue his tap dance on the Premier
Even
League.
Fred's playing well and scoring goals.
Do you have a sound effect for this, for Rashford scoring? Rashford's overall attempt?
What do you mean a sound effect?
Like a vibe that we can share with people?
I got a vibe. I got... Is this good?
Yes. Yes, Mark. If he's not, we're going to get in fantasy really quickly here, but if he's not in your fantasy, you are doing something wrong. He's having the best season of his life, and he's probably, I mean, he's doing really well. Oh, one thing I want to get into before we get into fantasy, I want to talk about the FIFA 11 because it was ridiculous the way they chose that.
How did they? What was the controversy? I don't.
Wait. Do you agree that United's gone through?
Oh yes, because Liverpool.
Sometimes may be good. Sometimes may be shit.
Exactly, Liverpool.
Exactly.
So, what controversy are you referring to?
No, I don't know if there was a controversy. I'm asking if there was a controversy in terms of how they picked it, how they selected the 11.
I don't think there was. Like, when I look at it, I'm not.
Do you
like,
agree with the 11?
I do, but
you agree with the midfielder, the center midfielder.
It sounds like you didn't.
No, I'm just asking if you think Casemiro should have been in the midfield.
100%.
Yeah.
I think Casemiro's a class
better
player.
Than okay, but let's say better than. I'm trying to think of a center.
Conte's hurt. If Conte's not hurt, he probably takes that
center
because Conte then plays in France and they probably win the World Cup.
Fair.
So like, that's how that goes. So the thing that I was most interested about is you have Cancelo in the back. Obviously, had an amazing year for City. Van Dijk, I think, is interesting because I just don't think he's a top center back. But it also just shows how there's not a lot of great center backs right now. Because I don't really think Van Dijk's like that amazing right now. Hakimi definitely has been playing super well in club and then took his team, you know, as a captain, went to the semifinals with Morocco, first African team to ever make it to the semifinals.
I I'm going to say this. I'm a Spurs fan, but I think Romero, he's better than Van Dijk. And
that's the one thing I was going to say. Romero won the World Cup.
Won the World Cup with Argentina. I think he's right now, maybe not last year, but this year he's definitively a better center back.
I take him over Van Dijk without even thinking.
Oh yeah, he's lights out.
Then having Modric, obviously Champions League last year, went to the semis of the World Cup. That makes sense. De Bruyne, Man City, class on class on class. I don't think there's better players. Casemiro, I'm sure you could argue, but like I don't know of a better.
Yeah, I can't
holder.
Think of anybody I'd sub in for this.
Yeah, other than Conte. If Conte's healthy and he plays in the World Cup, Conte takes that spot. The craziest thing is I think this is the first time I've seen it where it's a 3-3-4 because there's so many ridiculous players up top that they had to throw them. So you have Messi, Benzema, Haaland, and Mbappe up top. I mean, that's like it's the most ridiculous 11 forwards I've ever seen. And it's also the first time that Ronaldo has not been in the FIFA 11 since 2007.
Do you think Benzema should have been there or do you think it should have been Lewandowski? Or do you think it should have been Kane?
No, I think it should have been Benzema.
But I don't know Benzema's stats. That's what I'm asking.
I mean, Benzema won the Champions League last year.
No, that's true.
He had multiple hat tricks against English teams in the knockouts. He had had ridiculous runs.
But he didn't do anything in the World Cup. He didn't even play in the World
hurt.
Cup.
He was hurt.
But he didn't play in the World Cup.
I don't hold that against. He won the Ballon d'Or. He has to be in
this
team.
Okay, he won the Ballon d'Or. Okay.
Won the Ballon d'Or. Okay. Mbappe scored four goals in the World Cup final. Yeah. Freakish. Haaland, freakish. Messi, GOAT. So. It's just like the most ridiculous. Like I've never seen them have to invert it, so it's like a 3-3-4. Like I'm waiting for the next year when it's like, you know, I don't know if they're ever gonna have five forwards or that they just have to have them there, you know. So, anyways,
I think it's the last year we'll see Modric in there too.
I think it's the last year you see Modric.
And I don't think De Bruyne actually should even be in there. To be fair,
who would you put in over him? That's the question.
I on the spot, I don't know, but I think he gives the ball away too much, and I don't think he plays enough. And I think he did absolutely nothing in the World Cup.
Oh, I've been saying for a long time he doesn't do anything in big games, and John Scheimer is hearing this and his ears are burning, but that's fine.
I don't think he is above average, but not – I don't think he's like the best. He wins the player of the year – he wins the player of the year award in England every year for no apparent reason. Nobody knows why.
I mean, City wins. He's a phenomenal midfielder.
He's not a phenomenal midfielder. He's not.
I think he's a phenomenal midfielder.
If you watch him per 90, he's not.
I think he's better?
He has moments where he does really good things because he bangs in goals every once in a while, but he's not doing anything that's like amazing from a midfielder perspective. Because his role is to distribute the ball, which he does okay. And hold the ball, which he doesn't do very well. He loses the ball a lot, but he can shoot, and that's what
I don't know if
carries
his, I don't know if his
he loses the ball a lot.
If one of his jobs is to hold the ball, I think his job is
he's a midfielder. His job is to hold and distribute. That's his job.
Distribute, maybe not hold.
Either way, like I don't mean hold as in he's a holding midfielder. I mean his job
is to retain
possession.
Ball. Retain possession. Retain is the word. I think
he doesn't do it very well.
I think he's much better than what you're giving him credit for, but. That's fine.
He loses the ball.
John Scheimer literally thinks he's like,
there's a reason why Pep doesn't play him a lot.
Because he doesn't have to, because City's a freaking steamroll.
If he was the best player, if he was the best midfielder in the team, if he was the best midfielder in the league, in the world, then he would play majority of the time. But he's just on the bench a lot.
Fantasy, you ready?
Okay.
So, this past week on Fantasy, your boy was 4D chess. I didn't change up my lineup because we had all these Carabao Weird Cup and FA Cup games. And so, I didn't change up my lineup. Ooh, and I got 76 points. I roasted. Martinelli got 52 points.
Yeah, he captained him.
And I captained him, and I didn't captain Haaland. And that was a phenomenal decision. I don't know if I've seen a player get that many ever. I screenshot it. So, I want to go down to the league, though, and the league is getting scary. I jumped up one over Diego. I'm a couple of points over Diego. But the thing that I was saying earlier in the chat is Azatique is back in second. So if you care about fantasy and you want to win the prize money, you better get your shit together.
What's the prize money? Back. Let's remind our viewers, listeners.
100 bills, dude.
Oh! 100
bill skis.
But imagine if the 100 bills, when did we start this? Back in August?
Back in August.
Are they worth 100? So are they now worth 120 because of inflation?
That's inflation, not how inflation works.
No, but like we.
Oh, am I going to pay out 130 or 120?
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, 100% not. You're going to get 100 and be able to buy.
That sucks, dude. That sucks.
Welcome to the macro. Good luck, people.
Welcome.
Invest your money. Don't hold cash.
Don't hold cash. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
This is a lesson. For
y'all. Hashtag not financial advice.
It's not financial advice, but this is real. The $100 that we promised you is not worth the same as what you're going to get.
This week coming up.
Do I
do
you're
Rashford?
Asking me advice. I'm not a good person to ask advice.
Would you keep on Martinelli because he was just so good against Bournemouth?
Yes, he banged in 2 goals today.
Or would you play Rashford who's going to rise to the occasion and roast Van Dijk, Mr. FIFA 11?
What? Ask that again? Sorry.
Would you have Rashford captain against Liverpool?
No.
Haaland captain against Newcastle?
No.
Or you'd stay Martinelli against Bournemouth?
Yes.
Really?
Unless he doesn't play because they're so bad. He might just not
even
play.
That's what I'm saying. He may not play.
He might not even play. They may sit him. They may play Nketiah with Trossard and even put Jesus back in because Jesus is playing again.
Jesus is back. John Scheimer's favorite player ever.
Oh, yeah. FIFA 11. Jesus. He'd be in the FIFA 11 if it wasn't for his
injury. He would be our fifth forward.
He'd be the fifth forward.
He'd be, as Bruce Willis would say, the fifth element.
He just doesn't get any love in Brazil. That's why he didn't play, right, John? Right? That's why he didn't play?
Exactly. No love in Brazil.
No love.
Just like Messi, no love in Brazil. Well, that's the show. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to follow us everywhere.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
That's
incredible. Ciao.
Ciao. Thanks for listening to the Boys and Bolos podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Boys and Bolos.
If you'd like to be a guest, please reach out. You can hit us on any of the social media accounts that Jeff just mentioned or email us directly at boysandbolos@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening and see you next time.